our voice drops, I would appreciate it. Anybody's hand to let me know to raise my voice.
If I can get mine up that high, I'll do it. Thank you. God bless.
Sister Gloria and I are pleased that we can be with you. Our brethren in the North Seattle class send their love and greetings to all the friends that we would meet and fellowship with here during our stay in the Phoenix area. Our topic of blessings, benefits, assurances, and obligations, we feel we benefit by spending some time on that. Psalm 133, verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That is to dwell upon the truth, to consider the truth, where we got the truth, what our first feelings were upon the beginning of our walk. In the day-to-day practice of our lives, as new creatures, we want to endeavor to draw ever closer to Him. We have a wonderful subject in the scriptures. It's a magnificent scriptures. It's from many pens, but yet it dovetails over and over, and it from the pens from different times, and it all fits in to this lovely plan of the ages that we have. Any good instructor knows that if he's going to teach a subject, he has to have an acceptable, a satisfactory textbook which will help to lay it out. We have such a textbook, and it's in six divisions, we might say a fourth. The studies in the scriptures and the tabernacle shadows of better sacrifices. If we pick up the Bible and commence to read from one end to the other, how much will we have of it when we reach the end? How much will we understand of it? It's not the type of book that you can pick up and read as a novel. It's a book that must be studied with the help of these wonderful studies in the scriptures textbooks that we have. If we use these textbooks over the years repeatedly, they're always new, they're always fresh, they are arranged topically so that we can make sense out of what the subject is. We have it laid out on the plan. We have the first volume of studies in the scriptures. I'm convinced that a person has the first volume and they have the tabernacle shadows, they pretty much have the truth. But in these volumes of studies in the scriptures, we have them divided, chronology and explaining the pictures, and for the new creation and how to live and conduct our affairs. Its organization, the parental obligations, the marital obligations, all of these things which serve to guide and keep us firm and faithful Brother Christian W. Zarno was a brother much used in the Pilgrim service. He wrote me a letter, and in it he stressed, when I was quite young, he stressed, volumes and tabernacle, volumes and tabernacle. There's nothing that can surpass or even come near to using the volumes and tabernacle. Brother Russell's language, his manner and style of writing is unmatched. The writers of today do not write in such a fashion. They think that they're quite a bit superior to that style of writing. Actually, what has happened from the day of the pastor, the educations were better. Education has been dumbed down, if you will. And everything else seems to have taken a tumble along with it. The only reason that we have the wonderful things that we do, like computers, rapid travel, is because the Lord has released the knowledge for man to discover. If a person has the humility, the understanding and the humility to accept that the Heavenly Father is the proprietor and owner of all knowledge, and that he releases it to mankind to discover it when he wants it discovered, then perhaps they can begin to make sense of a few things. Brother Russell, we're told in Matthew 5, was the ruler. He was made ruler over all his goods, the meat in due season that was to be forthcoming to the household of faith. With this, we have what's been studied here in the class. We understand clarification on Daniel 11. We get it through the volumes. We have all of the various points of truth that came from Brother Russell's efforts, assembling them for us and making them clear for us. We have the last Sunday we're considering the Gentile times and the four beasts, the four universal empires. It also is the image I seem to misplace something I have, but it's okay. It was also the head of gold, the chest and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, and the feet of iron, and then finally the toes mixed with the clay, showing the downward step. The gold is a pliable metal, and with each dissension, the rigidity and harshness was shown. Iron doesn't give, it doesn't break. The overturning, said he would overturn in Ezekiel 21, verse 27, till he come whose right it is. Each of these universal empires was started with the very best of intentions. It ran for 2,520 years, covering the four, commencing with the end of Zedekiah's rule, 606 BC, and ending with 1914. The Gentile times have ended, and the kings have had their day. We do have certain kings, but they're elected. They have to ask for permission from the people to have a term at ruling. Each of these empires, though, were started with the very best of intentions, and because of human failing and selfishness, they went down, and the Lord permitted another one to sort of stabilize things, but each time they went down. And finally, the last one went down, and Napoleon ended this 1260-year period from 539 to 1799. The papacy is not much, if anything, anymore, but this Catholic Church is still around. And what problems are being realized by all of the religious systems? The clergy is no different today than what the Islamics are doing. The Islamics tell their young men, and I guess some of the women, you notice it's always the young, be a martyr. One, the clergy got together, Catholic and Protestant, and they convinced the young men that if they would go to war, they would go, and they died, they would go right straight to heaven. Some of them even dressed in military uniforms to preach from their pulpits. So it's nothing new of what we see going on. We would think that the various religions, the Catholic religions and the Islamics, would get along far better than they do, because so many things of their beliefs they have in common. But 1874 began the Day of the Lord, and we're still in it. 1914, with the outbreak of World War I, saw another phase pick up. We have what we call the Day of Vengeance, the Day of Wrath, the Day of Jehovah, and it's all part, it all applies to the Battle of Armageddon. All of us have lived our lives during the Battle of Armageddon. It has different phases. So this has all come because Michael would stand up and take unto himself his great power to reign. Thy God reigneth. We realize 1874 to be the date of the Lord's presence, and his first administrative act was the awakening and raising of the sleeping saints. We've heard that some try what we call dumbing down the truth or distorting it by claiming that the Lord is present, yes, but he's not reigning. Well, why would he be present if he wasn't reigning? The entire thrust of the pastor's ministry was, thy God reigneth. There's a short chapter in volume 3 entitled Thy God Reigneth. Can be read through very, very quickly, very easily, but don't read it too quickly because there's a lot in that chapter. It's nearly 7 pages in length. Behind us are all the prophetic landmarks which point to this time of the most wonderful period in all the history of the world. They have shown us that since 1873 we have been living in the 7th millennium, that the lease of Gentile dominion, the times of the Gentiles, will expire in 1914, and that the advent of him whose right it is to take the dominion was due in 1874. They have shown us that in the days of these Gentile kings, before their lease of power expires, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom, and that the setting up of that kingdom has actually been in progress since the year 1878, that there the resurrection of all the dead in Christ was due, and that therefore, since that date, not only is our Lord and head invisibly present in the world, but all these holy messengers are also with him. And observe further that this date of the resurrection of the dead in Christ parallels the date of the resurrection of the head of the body. Our Lord's resurrection occurred 3.5 years after his advent as the Messiah in AD 29, and the resurrection of his body, the church, we have seen was due in the year 1878, 3.5 years after his second advent in October 1874. The 2300 days point to 1846 at the time when God's sanctuary would be cleansed of the defiling errors and principles of papacy. And we have noted the cleansing there accomplished. We have noted the fulfillment of the 1260 days, or the time, times, and a half time. If I didn't have the volumes, brethren, I would never been aware of what a time is. 360 days, that is symbolic days, a day for a year. The time, times, and a half time of papacy's power to persecute, and the beginning there in 1799 of the time of the end. We have seen how the 1290 days mark the beginning of an understanding of the mysteries of prophecy in the year 1829, culminating in the great movement of 1844, known as the Second Advent Movement. But when, according to the Lord's prediction, the wise virgins went forth to meet the bridegroom 30 years prior to his actual coming, we have seen the fulfillment of the predicted tarrying, and for 15 years the midnight cry, behold, the bridegroom has gone forth. We have marked with special delight the 1335 days, pointing as they do to 1874 as the exact date of our Lord's return. And we have, since that time, experienced the very blessedness promised through the clearer unfoldings of the wonderful mysteries of the divine plan. In our Seattle class, we recently finished the third volume, and we started with the second volume for our Sunday study. Our first meeting is generally a discourse, excepting those Sundays when there's a topical study. then we have a new sister and the young man that she's going to marry coming to meetings. And she is so taken with the truth of the six volumes. On our Wednesday night meeting, we were having a first volume study, but she couldn't make it to the Wednesday night meeting many times, so we switched our studies. So we have the first volume on Sunday, and we are into the second volume on Wednesday. Wednesday we have the volume study, and the following Wednesday we have a testimony meeting. We alternate back and forth. But throughout my time of being in the truth, going to meetings, there have always been volume studies in the scriptures in the class. And we feel it's a great benefit. I feel it's benefited me far more than I could have been benefited by just doing it on my own. In our private study, in preparation for meeting, we may go through a paragraph in the course of preparing for our meeting. And after many years in the truth, some of us have been in the truth 40, 50 years, maybe more, we will come over an item, we'll say, well, I wonder what the pastor meant by that. I'm going to bring that up at the meeting. I can't quite understand that. I wonder what the rest of the friends think about that. So that'll come up, and the attention will be called to that. Maybe certain page, certain paragraph, the fifth line from the bottom. What do the brethren think of this? They help each other this way. And this is what we're trying to do, is trying to grow and trying to help. It's recommended that the volumes be read through privately every year, 6 pages a day. I can see the benefit of it, had I been able to fully keep up with that. But one brother stated that he decided when he retired, he would try to pick up some piece of the pastor's writings every day and dwell upon that. There's a certain way that the volumes of studies in the scriptures should be handled. We think it's the best. They study them in their order numerically, beginning with the first and continuing through to the end. And likewise with the reprints. With the volume studies, do not forget to consider always the forewords. That's the pastor's latest thought. He wrote these forewords only 30 days before his passing. With the reprints, there are some good things in the early ones. But again, the best way of handling the reprints, in our opinion, is to start with the latest ones and work back. We know of one brother who had lost his hope by reading in the early reprints. He thought that the church was all gone by 1881. I said to him, well, in that case, you don't even believe Brother Russell made his calling election sure. Well, I'm not going to talk about that. He didn't want to talk about that. And he also, I had asked him, what about the scripture that says, blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in? I'm not going to talk about that. Well, what can you do if you get someone who has a preconceived idea and they will not reason on it? Isaiah 18:1, come, let us reason together. Let us help each other. Let us mull these things over. Then the other important matter is the respect of God's choice of Brother Russell as that wise and faithful servant. There are brethren who say, oh yes, I believe Brother Russell was a servant. They don't want to accept Brother Russell as that servant, that wise and faithful servant whom the Lord made ruler over all his goods. I talked with one brother, and he's still living. Years ago, I went to his home, and I was trying to convince him of the importance of the volumes. He said, well, we need the volume studies, but we need other things too, which meant he wanted something of his own. There are brethren who feel that they have minds every bit as good as the pastors, and they will set about to write books which differ from what the pastor has put forward, chronology, so forth. I think, brethren, that we'd be entitled to write a book when we can read through the volumes and memorize it. Every word, every bit of the tabernacle, everything, what the measurements mean, everything about it. I don't have that ability. I won't be able to do that in my lifetime. And don't have that much time left anyway. So I don't want to have time for anything else except what the Lord has given us through the pen of Brother Russell. Brother Russell, you probably heard, was greatly circulated during his lifetime. Many trips, many things, all laid out by the Lord for Brother Russell's ministry. 1865, just before his ministry commenced, the railroads were mostly built. Brother Russell, in one reprint, says, "We now live in a world of wire and rail," or rail and wire, same thing. If the pastor were with us today, what would he say about how we live? We are seeing everything that we see is a sign that the Lord has returned. He's present. The rapid travel. Satellites. When I was in school, we never heard these terms. Fish, chip, modem, hard drive, software. Wished I knew a little bit about some of those things, but it comes so fast. Well, you put an entire set of Encyclopedia Britannicas and much more in the, can store it on something the size of your little fingernail or smaller. Doesn't this point to the Daniel 12, in the last days, men would run to and fro and knowledge would be increased? How could we deny that God is not reigning? How dare we deny that he is not reigning? The purpose of his presence, to bring these blessings, to give us assurances. Psalm 30 and 5, joy cometh in the morning. Well, the Lord's people have a bit of an earlier morning. Joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 5. The world has some joy that's going to come to them in their morning too. Just a little a little point here in considering the chronology. Some of the brethren and other people, once in a while you find a person, they struggle over BC and AD. They think that there's a year between here somewhere, a 0 year. There is no 0 year. It's simply coming down here. Years. This was the time of these four beastly governments. Because the Heavenly Father has given us assurances and opened our eyes to some truth, a measure of truth with which we're blessed. Do we get it to enjoy it? Yes, we do enjoy it. We're given comfort. We benefit from it. But there's also some obligations. All of this comes through the studies in the scriptures. We can't just take and hide our light under a bushel. We have to be faithful in proclaiming it. We proclaim it to our brethren, to each other, and we get the opportunity, we proclaim it in the world to where we might find a hearing ear. Many times, well, I shouldn't say many times because there aren't that many times anymore when you find a hearing ear. People are not, it's not the Lord's time for them to be drawn, which indicates that we're still in the harvest. A reprint entitled The Harvest. Thank you, Brother Dick. The harvest not ended. He says the harvest goes grandly on. Well, it's not grandly anymore. We don't have the big 3 and 4 day conventions generally like we used to have in Seattle, Vancouver, the various other cities, and like it was in the pastor's day. That time is over. There might be an immersion service, but many conventions now there is no immersion service. It was always an immersion service in the 50s. Any convention that I went to, there would be 3, 4, 5 that would be immersed, but now we don't find that so much anymore. But he's given us assurances and comforts. They are a comfort to us, and they are a comfort to the world if they have a hearing ear and they're wanting to search. All wars shall cease, Isaiah 2 and verse 4, and Micah 4 and verse 3. All evil will be suppressed. Psalm 37:10, Revelation 20, 2 and 3. God will execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. Isaiah 28:17. And there shall be nothing to hurt nor destroy. Isaiah 11, verse 9. We watch for our opportunities of calling these things forth. You may have an opportunity of witnessing when world conditions seem to worsen and people feel that they may be personally affected. But let's take a look just a little bit at the United States of America, to consider the United States of America. As we've mentioned, the railroads were put in time for the pastor's ministry. The United States of America, the Lord overruled because it was to be the land of the seventh angel. If you look at the Statue of Liberty, on the crown, you're given a hint. These seven spikes or points that stick out. To my mind, that indicates the seventh messenger, Pastor Russell. Pastor Russell was published widely, and there were many prominent and influential people who read his weekly sermons. They were front page copy on the newspapers. One afternoon, we're told of this in one of our conventions, that one afternoon, Brother Russell got a call. It was from President Woodrow Wilson seeking advice on whether he should send troops to the Philippines. The pastor advised him not to do it, but he did anyway. But this just shows the stature that Brother Russell had, the attention that he could his writing was getting. We have a system of pictures in the scriptures. It deals with numbers. Brother Lawrence Kirkham called my notice to a couple of these items of numbers that I found intriguing, and I'd like to share them with you. The first one is in John 21, verse 11, regarding the great fishes, where the disciples had been out through the night fishing, and they hadn't had success. And the master on the shore told them to try the other side, and they came up with 153 great fishes, and this pictured the little flock, because on the number 153, if you add 1 to 5, you get 6, and if you add 3 to 6, you get 9. 9 is a symbol of the church. 10 is a symbol of completion of events. 9 pictures in scriptural usage, something that's unfinished. Verses 12 and 13 was Jesus' invitation to dine on the bread and the fish he had prepared. That was the cooked fish, indicating that he had died. 1 plus 9 gives the complete number, head and body. This is a picture of our Lord and the church. Another picture is the picture of 7. In calculating the Jubilee, it's referenced in Leviticus 25:10. You shall hallow the Jubilee You shall hallow the 50th year, and it shall be a jubilee unto you. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. You shall return each man unto his own possession and to his own family. His possession, his life. It was a picture of the resurrection to come. Regarding Numbers, our Lord and his 12 apostles, we come up with the number 13. 13 is a wonderful number. The Great Pyramid covers 13 acres. The United States, if we think the Lord's tender care wasn't over the shaping and bringing the United States of America into existence, it was for the purpose of the Seventh Messenger's ministry. If you look on the back of the dollar bill, you will see the pyramid. Everybody carries it, nobody thinks about it, but you see the pyramid there with the capstone of the eye. The pyramid today doesn't have, in Egypt, doesn't have the capstone on it. But because of the casing stones, a few of them left, they've been able to project how high the pyramid would be if the capstone were present. I don't know how many of you have these little books. They're from Chicago on the pyramid. But there is a picture in here of a stake on top of the pyramid that shows how high it would be if the capstone were there. And the total height of the pyramid would be 454 feet high. If you add 4 to 5, you get 9. And you add another 4 to it, you get 13. In the U.S. House, the Senate has 100 senators, and the House of Representatives has 435, for a total of 535. You add 5 plus 3 plus 5, you come up with 13. These numbers become intriguing and fascinating to me, to show that the Lord had provided this land for the meet in due season to go forth, to be a home for the truth, as Brother Lorenz once phrased it. The Liberty Bell itself, also Brother Lorenz pointed out to me, traveled only during the lifetime of Brother Russell. Now that's I find that fascinating. I think our meeting's supposed to terminate at 11:30, are we? Or 10:30? Well, I had some other things that I was going to mention. There's quite a number of points here, but it all comes from the studies in the scriptures and the tabernacle. Just mention a few of these. We have the temple, the tabernacle arrangements, the deliverance of Israel under Moses, the system of pictures. There's 104 pictures in the back of the comments of Jesus and his church. The innumerable factors and time features, the chronology. We have the lessons of the family, of the family unit. What is pictured there? The picture of the marriage and the family unit. the lessons of nature. We had the four seasons, and we could go on and on with these pictures. The picture of pregnancy, human pregnancy. There's a picture, a numerical picture there. The deliverance of Israel back to their land and their recognition as a state in May 14th of 1948. The ransom philosophy, that the ransom is the hub from which everything radiates out. We hear the term leaky vessels. I can't keep all of what the pastors put down and brought forth from the scriptures in mind. I have to, is that the way it was? I have to go back and check. And we have to repeatedly, year after year, month after month, go to the volumes. We have to engage our brethren. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? The Jubilee cycles, Leviticus 25. We learn what sacrificial death is. We learn lessons on the pyramid. We are the only group, to my knowledge, who understands the ransom and the two salvations. Our load of good things provides the needed traction for keeping in this way of sacrifice. And it stems from a recognition of Brother Russell as the Lord's choice. And we don't have Brother Russell with us, but we have his writings. Let us hang close to them. May the Lord add his blessing. May the Lord be praised.
So, John, did you intend to write 606 or 625 in the board there?
I did indeed. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that sharp in arithmetic in school. I was thinking of what I was going to write under concerning 625, but
you can leave
another time.
You can leave that if you want.
Okay.